what are we doing? Life. We're singing in so many ways. We ask you now to open our hearts and minds. Lord, speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Write it on our hearts that we might take it to the wisdom, that we might use it for your building of your kingdom, that we might draw closer to you. In my name is God. Good morning. Now I get to see who's sleeping. You want me to pull that up? Okay, how's that? That work? Anybody in here worried about anything this morning? Seriously. Anybody got to worry? Everybody's carefree. Don't worry. I know Debbie's worried. That's part of it. I've already asked her. I'm just kidding. We do worry, don't we? Anybody watch the news? Oh, come on now. Y'all, this is interactive. I know why Grant gets upset now. Everybody's sitting there like, oh, what are you talking about? Nobody watches. You don't listen to the news. You don't watch the news. Is there anything in the world to worry about? Anything at all? Okay. All right. Man, tough crowd. Tough crowd. Anybody worry about a job? Or your family? Anybody worry about family? How about finances? We all worry about that every once in a while, you know, at some point in our life. You know, worry will take away our time. It takes up time. Worry will take your joy. It will take your peace. It will take the peace from your life. We allow worry to defeat us. And the world sees us not as a Christian who is overcoming, who is a winner, but as a defeated person. You know, sometimes I think we wonder why people don't see Christians as more positive, but we're just as negative as everybody else. Well, you know, you go up and you say, how are you today? And we start having a whole list of all the things that are wrong. That's the way we say it. How many of you are smiling right now? You're a Christian. We're in church. Okay, enough of that. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. There's a lot to be said about this, though. We serve a God who is the greatest God, who is the God, who is the greatest, who created us. We should be joyful. We should be happy. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter what happens in this world, we have a God who has overcome the world. Amen? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Now, Chuck Swindoll said that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to that. And people who study all of this stuff, and I don't even know what you call people who study this kind of thing, but they say that 90% of the stuff that we worry about never happens anyway. Or it never happens the way we were worrying about it happening anyway. So worry is a problem. It's a problem for Christians. It's a problem for everybody. And worry is really a choice. Now, some of you are not going to agree with me on this. I know. I even used your name in an earlier service, Kathy. But worry is a choice, but not always consciously. We don't always consciously choose to worry. Sometimes we just condition ourselves through the things that we do, through the actions and the motions that we go through, that we automatically worry. And it's by our own choice, but even though we don't even realize it. And the thing is, we should give everything to God in prayer, and Almighty God is going to give us peace. He promises us peace. In this passage, he says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding." That means it's a divine peace, that it is a peace that transcends human understanding. We're not going to really know why we have peace in that situation. The world's going to look at us and say, "Well, you idiot, why are you happy? I mean, this is awful. How can you be happy?" Because we have God, and because we know He's taking care of the problem. So there's two ways that we react to this, and I told them earlier I was going to get myself in trouble, but we have a general female reaction and a general male reaction to problems. The female reaction is they're going to focus on the problem. They're going to focus on it almost exclusively. They have tunnel vision looking at the problem. And the male problem is we're going to ignore it. We're just going to, you know, it's not happening. If I don't acknowledge it, it's not happening. So y'all are happy and joyous, and you're really not sitting there looking at me like that. I'm just going to ignore it. But we try to justify both the same way. We try to justify worry the same way, no matter how we react. It's this thing, you know, I've prayed about it. I've given it to God. I've given it to God to take control, so I don't have to think about it anymore. And the problem is when we do that, we try to make our mind go blank. And when a blank mind, when your mind has nothing in it, like mine does oftentimes, it goes back to that same thing that you were worrying about. And so it just kind of self-perpetuates the worry. When you try to put it out of your mind, when you bring something to God, a lot of you will bring it to God and you say, "Lord, I need help with this." And you turn it over to Him, and you may even say to yourself, "I know God can handle it." But as soon as you do that and you walk away, and 15 minutes later you think about that and you've got it back in your mind again and you're worrying about it again. But there is a solution to that. If you look at Philippians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9, if you go on and read a little further, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, for those of us that are old enough to remember him, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." And a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we were in Bible study, and I shared with them about a Bible study that I was listening to on the radio, and the person raised a really good question or observation. What is the first thing you do in the morning as far as media? And the last thing you do before you go to bed, most of us, or a lot of us, first thing we do in the morning, we listen to some news. You may have the TV on while, or the radio on while you're getting ready for work, school, whatever, and you're listening to what's going on in the world. And the last thing you do before you go to bed, you're watching that late night news or whatever right before you hit the sack, you know. And the thing is, we start our day off with a very good, healthy dose of who got murdered and who ran into who drunk last night and this person's missing and somebody just bombed somebody else and they're threatening so-and-so. And then We go throughout our day thinking about that, and then right before we go to bed, we do the same thing. We listen to all that mess again, and we go to bed thinking about that stuff. And they're saying, these verses, meditate on the good things. If you want to bring a problem to Christ, if you have a problem with worry, if you have something in your life right now that you're extremely worried about, and you say, well, I've taken it to Christ, but I just can't get it off my mind. Take it to Christ, give it to Him, and then meditate on the good things. How many of you have been blessed by something Christ has done in your life in the past? How many of you have had answered prayer in your life? Anybody have any answered prayer? You know that Christ can do things, that God can do things for you, and that He's going to do things that are good for you. You may even have thought at one time that it wasn't what you wanted, but you saw as the years go by or as time passes after that, that this was what the best thing for you. And if you come to God and you bring that, what that problem, whatever it is, whatever you're worrying about, and this is true for all ages. It may be that big test at school. It may be that boyfriend that just keeps worrying you to death, or that girl that won't hush in class, you know. Whatever it is. But it's true in all cases. God has your best interest at heart. And if He's blessed you in the past, you can trust Him. You can leave this at the altar and meditate on all those blessings that He has given you in the past. All those answered prayers. All the good things. That old song that we used to sing a lot, Count Your Blessings, is true. Count your blessings, name them one by one. When you count your blessings, you don't have time to complain. You don't have time to worry. You don't have time to feel down when you count your blessings. We need to do more of that. Our focus. It's our focus. Verse 6 tells us what not to do. And verses 7 through 9 tell us what to do. In Jeremiah 29:11, you can trust God. We know that. But even in Scripture, in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." If you're worrying about something, God says in His Word that He has thoughts of peace toward you. He's not going to be a God. He is not a God of confusion. He's not a God that's trying to raise up problems in your life. If you have problems in your life, most likely they're caused by sin. And you say, well, my problems are health-related. All of that goes back to our sin nature, folks. God's not the one causing all of that. We brought it on ourselves. But the point I'm trying to make is that God has the best in store for you. And if you trust Him, if you have faith in God, if you believe in God Almighty, if you do more than the 80% of Americans who say, I believe in God, but you ask them and they don't know what God they're talking about. If you believe in God Almighty, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that He was hung on a cross, that He was buried and rose again on the third day and shed His blood for your sins and mine, then you have faith that God is going to take care of that. Amen? In Romans 12:2, it talks a little bit more about this. If you want to look at that, this verse is real familiar. We went over it about 50 times, I think, in a Bible study a while back. But it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what I'm saying. If you fill your head with the things of the world first thing in the morning, last thing at night, if you concentrate on the problem instead of the solution, then you're going to keep on worrying. But if you concentrate on God as the solution, if you concentrate on God's Word, being closer to Him first thing in the morning, I guarantee if you'll get up and spend 15 minutes in the Word in the morning and pray that your day will go better, I will absolutely, I will stand out. I'm not standing on the limb. I will guarantee that. God guarantees that. That will make the most difference in your day of anything you can do. If you will do that before you go to sleep at night, then your subconscious mind starts to go through this stuff. You'll start dreaming stuff about good things. instead of having all this old weird stuff going on in your head, you know. I went back to school and was on top of the cafeteria trying to paint roses on something other. You know, you have all this weird stuff going on in your head. God will take care of all of that. So you need, it's what we do, what we put in. What was it they used to say in information technology? Huh? Garbage in, garbage out. And I think some of us have a full-time diet of garbage. And we don't intend to. I'm not saying you intentionally go to the trash can and just gorge yourself. But it's the things of the world. I could easily become a news junkie. I could just watch it all the time. You know, I could be addicted to things like CNN or something like that. We have a guy at work that's addicted to Rush Limbaugh. And believe me, 8 hours of that will drive you nuts. I have some good earplugs. But, you know, what we put in there, you get hooked on it and you think, well, I've got to know what's going on. The world is going to go on and the world is going to keep on being crazy. I'm not telling you not to be informed at all. I'm not advocating that. But you've got to put God's word in. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." If you need